climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
There are some interesting legal stories making headlines. And joining me by phone right now is Andrew Reed. He's an attorney with Carstens, Allen, and Gourley out of Dallas, Texas. Andrew, thank you so much for taking a moment.
Absolutely. Glad to be on.
So there is this case that had me shaking my head. A bachelor out of Chicago is actually suing dozens of women for a whopping $75 million because they posted bad reviews about him. Can you give us the inside scoop on this one?
Yeah, and I will say there's a lot to unpack here, mainly because there's just the sheer number of people involved in this case. But ultimately what this is, this gentleman believes that these women had there's defamation claims, slander claims, as well as there's a new privacy law in Illinois that's also being brought into play here. And that privacy law ultimately leads to, it's about anti-doxing. So just trying to prevent people from putting information out there that will allow someone to go and either seek revenge or go after someone just because they thought they did something wrong, even if they hadn't done it. So there's a lot to unpack, but ultimately where this case probably will go is some of these claims may have been made by women that did not date this gentleman. So those arguably could be false statements potentially. So potentially the defamation claims against those women could potentially be ones that can continue. But some of these claims, especially for the women that did date him, those might actually potentially get thrown out because those women do have a right to an opinion. It's just how far did some of them go too far in identifying him and making it super public about what this gentleman may or may not have done on their dates.
Yeah. So does he really have a shot at getting that $75 million, or is that a bit of a stretch?
It's one that, in my personal opinion, is probably a stretch.
I think so.
Go that far. But it's one, there could be aspects of this case that could have significant damages. But it's one, without knowing more of the details and all the evidence that might get presented, we're still a little too early to know.
Well, one thing is certain, it's probably going to be a groundbreaking case and may spark other people to bring legal action as well.
It may. It's one, it will definitely be an interesting one to follow and see how this plays out, especially with this new law in Illinois, to see how that's going to be applied and what judges will do with that law.
And then there is this case that is really interesting. So a police officer gets money deposited into his bank account by mistake, and then he spends it, and now he's on the hook.
That is correct. So this police officer had $100,000 deposited into his account. He saw it. He started spending the money. He spent about $35,000 of it, according to the reports I saw. And about 6 days later, the bank comes back for the money that they accidentally deposited and realized now his account was overdrawn by $35,000. And so there's a lot of questions involved there. But he has now been charged with theft for that $35,000. So definitely an interesting one. When it comes to banking laws, there's a lot of different plays between state and federal laws. And that goes because banks can be under a state charter or a federal charter. And also, depending on what type of insurance they get, there's different aspects there. So there's just a lot of different ways that those regulations and rules play out. But ultimately, typically, if the bank makes a mistake, it's one that you have reason to know that it was a mistake, then that's something that a lot of times that comes into play. And so it's just one of those, basically, if you see money in your account that you weren't expecting, might want to ask the bank and go, is this correct or not, before you start spending it.
Right. Good advice. And this happened in New Jersey. Here he is. He's a police officer. And you've got to think that maybe he's saying, aha, this is my big payday. And he didn't really think about the consequences of spending that money that wasn't really his.
Exactly. Now, the intriguing thing that one of the reports I read that brought into play that kind of raises a question for me is that the bank actually closed his account when they discovered that he had spent the money. To me, just raises a little bit of a question going, why did the bank actually shut down his account, even though it may be overdrawn?
Right. That's very interesting, isn't it? Well, it'll certainly be one to watch. And then the other one that caught my eye real quickly is the fact that there is a mall that is trying to make a policy where parents or some adult have to escort kids and teens. Kids and teens under the age of 18 can't be at this mall without parental supervision. What do you make of that?
It is something that, while some states, counties, cities may have regulations about it, it's one, ultimately, typically, most private businesses have a right to put their own rules and regulations into place, as long as they are reasonable. And there are some aspects of this rule that have been brought up about, mainly they're trying to prevent groups of teenagers and kids running around the mall that are in groups of four or more without an adult present. So they're trying to prevent that and basically make sure that the shoppers stay in the mall, as malls are struggling. So that's ultimately what they're trying to do, and it's one probably will actually move forward.
And I'll tell you what, I would not be a bit surprised if other malls take notice and decide to do something similar, because I think we've all seen those circumstances where kids are unsupervised, teens are unsupervised, and it gets a little out of control and makes an unpleasant situation for other shoppers. Andrew Reed, attorney with Carstens, Allen and Gourley out of Dallas, Texas, thank you for providing us with the inside scoop on these legal stories.
You're welcome. Glad to be on.
All right. Have a great day.
You as well.
Bye-bye. So several months ago, I was at a mall in Utah, Salt Lake City. We were in the food court, and this group of teens came riding through on electric scooters and skateboards. They were knocking chairs over, knocking garbage cans over, really creating quite a bit of chaos. It was an interesting scene to watch unfold. A couple of the mall employees tried to get them under control, but there was no luck there. And finally, mall security came, and it was a full-on chase. One of the kids actually left his skateboard and took off running. So when you consider things like that, it's not really surprising to me that there might be this move to try and bring some order and prevent situations like that from unfolding, because I believe malls are at a point where they really are trying to do everything they can to keep people coming. And I'll tell you what, I hope they're successful, because I would hate to see a day where we no longer have that option available. Think about it. One day, the next generations might be saying, "What? You actually went and tried on clothing before you bought it?" There's a lot more to come today. We'll be back.